It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in, it's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. Praise God. It is Thursday, the 19th of January, and we welcome you to worship this morning and wellness. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Good morning, Father in heaven. We come before you on this day of creation, thanking you for your night of protection. We ask that you will open up your heavenly window and throw out to us showers of blessings, Lord, by giving us the anointed words to be granted unto our pastor for us to be able to receive fresh manna from heaven. We ask that you will bless us all by anointing each of us with your Holy Spirit and filling us with your Spirit, Lord, so we can learn and grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of about time, O Christian, it's about time, it's about time for the coming of Christ for Him. It's about
when, where, and how to pray for worship, and wellness will be the prayer of faith. When, where, and how to pray. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Dear Father, as we come before thee this morning, we come humbly. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. We are powerless without you, and we thank you for allowing us to serve in the Lord's army today. Bless us, Lord, with truth, with righteousness, with victory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're studying the altar of incense, that altar that we ended with, that told us in verse 6 of chapter 30 that it was, thou shalt put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat. Well, I'm sorry. We actually looked at, I think we looked at that verse, thou shalt put it before, verse 6, the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. I can tell you for sure we talked about it being four square, okay? So that might have been where we left off on yesterday. So the bottom line is that this represents prayer. And this particular verse lets us know that it is before the ark of the testimony. Now, the testimony was the Ten Commandments. And so the ark of the testimony was God's throne connected to the Ten Commandments, because that's the moral code of the universe, my brothers and sisters. And God wants us to understand that his government is based upon justice. But justice is righteousness, okay? But his government is also, because of sin, full of mercy. So you have the law, which man broke, and then you had a mercy seat, then you had the presence of God. So the presence of God is not just looking down into the broken law, it's looking at mercy. God did it that way because the plan of redemption, it would teach us that we don't have to die. We can be saved because God is merciful, okay? So when you pray, you're praying to a God of mercy, but you're praying to a God of justice. A lot of people who have had great crimes committed against family members, maybe even people killed, they don't want the court to just be merciful. They want the court to give justice because unrepented sin have taken place. And sometimes, even though there is repentance, which is very little, there still is consequences, you know, of our sins, okay? So as a matter of fact, a repentant criminal will generally get some mercy because they were repentant and contrite. All right, that being said, my brothers and sisters, that's who we pray to, a God of justice. He will make things right. He will stand for us. He does everything correctly, and he will protect us and give vengeance when we've been done wrong and others are trying to take us out. You put your life in God's hands, my friends, and he will take care of you. If as a Christian, our contract states that by my life or by my death, I will praise thee and I will honor thee. And so God makes the decision. If I can honor him more by my death, then so be it, because it will honor him and bring souls to Christ. Many a martyr has given their life to Christ. I'm sorry, given their life for Christ. Christ himself gave his life for us. And so that is the lot of the Christian. But here we have so many stories where if it didn't glorify God for a true Christian to be killed. Daniel could have been eaten by lions, but God saw fit that he did not, that those lions got full for that moment, came under a holy trance, okay? The three Hebrew boys were put in a fiery furnace so hot that it killed the soldiers that threw them in, and yet they walked around in the fire, and the only thing that was burned was the ropes that bound them, okay? We have stories like Joseph, who should have been dead as a slave in Egypt and became prime minister. So God puts these in to let us know he's in control, and if our hurt or our death will not glorify him, it will not happen. Now, there is persecution because the devil is real, and God does allow him to show his true colors, but he will be with his people, and he only allows that which will make us stronger to come upon us, my brothers and sisters. All right, so the ark was before the veil, and the veil was a curtain. But remember, it was a gable tent. So you have the curtain with the gable tent, okay? So the smoke would rise up over the curtain into the very presence of God. So the high priest would minister on this side of the curtain in the holy place, but the incense, the sweet savor, you see, what that means is the righteousness of Christ bathes our prayers, and they're presented to God as if they are the prayer of Christ. It is such a beautiful concept. When you pray, Christ takes your prayer to the Father when you are a Christian, when you give your heart to the Lord. Verse 7, and Aaron shall burn incense thereon, sweet incense. I'm sorry, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. That's what I was talking about, the righteousness of Christ. And he dresses the lamp. When he dresses the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. So he had to get the lamps ready, and he would burn incense upon it. That incense didn't just go out. It was just, you know, reestablished and kindled at a certain point two times a day, and we'll talk about that. And so we want to understand that's why we pray in Jesus' name, because our prayers are bathed with his sweet-smelling incense, with the sweet-smelling incense of his presence, and present it to the Father. So you don't have to worry about being unworthy. We're all unworthy. That's the whole purpose of the gospel. God loved unworthy people, but then he makes us worthy by the plan of redemption. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. And so, my brothers and sisters, it was burned every morning, it was burned every evening, and that was at a time where the people would be having their morning and evening devotion. And so this is a call to family worship. If you have a family, husband, wife, children, gather the family together for worship. If you've never done it before, feel a little weird or whatever, friends, you can sing songs, you can have prayer, you can read some of the Bible stories. If you have small children, bring the family together. It's not like you have to be Hercules. Just talk to the family and lead out brothers and pray. And if you know some spiritual song, and just have a short thought, something, ask the children, what do they think? How did they get anything out of it? And even if they're too young to understand, let them understand and get used to coming and praying. Put their little hands together and let them know we're praying. And they would get used to seeing, and eventually they don't even know what they're doing. They'll start bowing their heads, but you're teaching them to reverence the Lord. Praise God. So morning and evening worship, my brothers and sisters. Watch your step, sweetie. Okay. Morning and evening worship, very important, brothers and sisters. And we must do that. It is necessary to keep God in our homes, okay? Very important. Now, that does not negate personal worship, okay? And so we want to remind you that God has counsel regarding this. Now, watch this. How many times did we pray personally? The Bible says of David in Psalms 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So you had morning and evening worship as a family. Because of the broadcast, this is our family worship, okay? And so, go ahead, babe. I'm good. This is our family worship, okay? And so we don't do anything else as a family because we're together having worship. And but then my wife and I, my mother, if I can't do it together, we'll have prayer with mom, and then my wife and I will have prayer together, and that's how we have our family worship. But God is encouraging you that does not take the place of your own personal devotion. Evening and morning and at noon. So now it might not work out for you to do it exactly at noon. God is not a God of legalism, brothers and sisters. Somewhere in that midday, He just knows that we need that. What is it that we need? That power to get through the day. So I wake up in the morning and I've already had my prayer and some study before I come talk to you. Some of you all might do that after this worship, but you need your personal prayer time. It's good to take a pause somewhere in the midday and have personal prayer, my friend. It's very, very good to do that. And then in the evening, come together for family worship. All right? So that's what we understand from this verse. And we read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house," okay? Sorry, he went into his chamber toward Jerusalem. "He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime." That was in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and the first verse was Psalm 55, 17, okay? So Psalm 55, 17 and Daniel 6, 10, they tell us that we should pray individually 3 times a day. Now, notice that it said that the incense was a perpetual incense. So he didn't blow it out. He just lit it. And that's when it began. But it just continued to burn, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And then in Luke chapter 21, it says in verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." Okay? "Watch ye therefore and pray always." It says more. It says that ye be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I'd like to read something from the pen of inspiration. It says, "Pray always." Oh, sorry about that. I lost my place there. Give me a second here. Okay. Let me see. Anyway, I guess I accidentally may have. Okay, wait a minute. I opened up the wrong one. Okay, there you go. Praise God. All right, I want to read this quote to you, friends. It's just a beautiful commentary on what we just read. It says, "Pray always." That she's quoting what we just read in Luke chapter 21:36, where it says, "Pray always. Watch ye therefore and pray always." So it says, "Pray always." That is, be ever in the spirit of prayer, the spirit of prayer, a prayerful spirit. And then you will be in readiness for your Lord's coming. That's found in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 235. And then there's another, it says, "There is now need of much prayer. Christ commanded, pray without ceasing." That is, keep the mind uplifted to God, the source of all power and efficiency. You see, in Roman Catholicism, brothers and sisters, you have monks that just pray without ceasing. They teach you that that's what the nuns do, and so they do that for you, and so they have celibate lives and whatever, and there's been a lot of corruption within that because of that practice. God made man and woman for communion and fellowship in holiness and in love, and women and men should not be deprived of that. That does not make you more holy simply because you put on certain types of robes and clothing. and supposedly pray for the world. No, the world should be praying for itself. And that is something that we should understand. God didn't mean for others, priests and nuns and monks, to do that for us. We are to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you give your all your money away and everything and you just join a convent and pray all the time. No, it means that whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a judge, whether you're an officer of some type, police officer, politician, a teacher, pastor, street sweeper, you should be in an attitude of prayer. You should always be talking to God, just whispering a prayer. You know, there's a song that says, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening, will keep your heart in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Praying without ceasing and praying always is your heart is tuned to the frequency of heaven. You're trying to keep God on your mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. In the good times, in the bad times, in emergencies, when everything's just time to chill, when it's just time to chill out, our minds are on the Lord, my friends. All right, getting back to the scriptures, it says, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, not burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, nor shall you pour your drink offering thereon. Now, the meat and the drink were the work of the people's hands. In other words, they raised cattle, they raised grain and other things, and they offered that in offering. So it was from their own works that they would make these offerings. But it says, no strange incense when you pray, no burnt offerings and sacrifices, no meat offerings, therefore, shall be poured thereon. Okay, so what does that have to do with, friends? When they prayed, they were not to do that. So this is what it says, because we've been given instruction on how to pray, and I want you all to really listen, and I want to say that if you find that you've been praying different than what we were about to learn, that doesn't mean that God didn't hear your prayer, okay? But you might have a lot of extra fluff in it that's not necessary, and you might be thinking that it adds merit to your prayer, okay? But it doesn't, okay? So we're going to learn what the Bible says. This is Jesus talking. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. How many people try to pray prayers with flowery phrases and impressive words and polysyllabic words to rehearsed prayers that are, to impress people? Friends, that's not what prayer is all about. It's opening up your heart to God. That's what prayer is. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Where verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, that's giving alms. That's like giving gifts. But watch this. It is connected to prayer. But when thou doest thine alms, it says, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, see, it's connected to that, self-sacrificing life, my friends, not one where you're trying to be seen by men. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, friends, there is no merit in just having prayers that are seen amid. That doesn't mean there aren't collective prayers, but it's giving us a concept that we are to be praying to be seen. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Now, I want to talk about this, brothers and sisters. A vain repetition may not be what you think it is. And I'm going to have to give some illustrations because you've heard it. And again, that's why I said at the beginning, if you're doing this, that doesn't mean God doesn't hear your prayer. The Bible says God winks at ignorance. You didn't know, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. God is a human, not a man. I didn't mean that. God is a divine being. Now, God in Christ is also human and divine. But the point is, my friends, that God is worthy of honor and respect and reverence. Okay? So you wouldn't even go to President Biden or Trump and say, President, thank you very much for this, for having me to the White House. Mr. President, thank you so much for all of your, and Mr. President, thank you for this. And Mr. President, we'd like you to know, and Mr. President, we would like you to also know, and Mr. President, we appreciate the thing. And Mr. President, I mean, that would be irritating to the president, friends. It would be irritating. So why do we say, and Lord Jesus, do this for me, 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 and Lord Jesus, do this for me. You see what I'm saying? That is not necessary. That's a vain repetition. When we pray, we should be in conversational tones, and we should pray and speak as though we're talking to a friend. And when we're talking to our husbands, our wives, we don't call their name over and over and over and over again. That would be an irritation. And dear, I need you to do this. And dear, I need you to do this. And dear, I need you to do this. And dear, I need you. You get what I'm saying? So vain repetitions. We kind of think that it makes the prayer more holy, but it doesn't. So Jesus is telling us when we pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. So we don't even pray to inform God. We pray to submit it to God. I want to repeat that. We don't pray to inform God. He already knows. But we pray as an act to submit the matter to God and take it off of our shoulders. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And this was not meant to teach that we should have rehearsed and memorized prayers. It's after this manner, therefore pray you. Now, I know some people that won't quote the verse because they read in council that it wasn't supposed to be to teach memorized prayers. It's a scripture, friend. You can quote a scripture. So sometimes people take that to extreme, okay? I have no problem if we want to repeat the Lord's Prayer together because it's a scripture. We're repeating scripture. But what God is trying to tell us is that this was not to say, because in Roman Catholicism, you know, they have so many Hail Marys that they say, and they say so many prayers, and it's just these repeated prayers. That's not what we're supposed to do, my friend. It's a manner of prayer. So when you quote the Lord's Prayer, understand you're quoting scripture. And so in so doing, if it's under the spirit of we're quoting the word of God to teach, then I see no problem with it. But it was not to be your prayer for the day. But this is it. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. In this method, use this method, use this system of prayer. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Simple prayer. You acknowledge God. You praise him. You extolled him. You understood of his great majesty. You asked him for what you needed, what the needs were. You gave him glory and honor. You asked him to help, not to give you victory over sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because sin is that thing that separates us from God. And then you honor him at the end with power and glory forever. It's over, friends. That's your prayer. It's a manner of praying, okay? So just keep in mind, sometimes we've, gone and we say, Lord, 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 like a broken record. That doesn't help God answer or hear your prayer any better, friends, than if you just extolled him as your great Lord and Savior and then put forth your praise, put forth your petition, acknowledge that you want to overcome sin and use his resources to do so, and that you want his will, not yours, to be done on this earth just like it is in heaven. And that's how we pray, my friend. All right, let's go to verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of the atonement. Once in the year shall you make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. This is so beautiful. Aaron, which was representative of the high priest, made an atonement. So why is that? Well, did you know that the Bible tells us something in Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, we're going to go to verse 38. You might not pray perfectly, okay? But watch this. Because we've just learned some things. Maybe you've learned that you've been praying wrong all your life. But watch this. It says, it's actually Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that, well, that's not there. I'm sorry. Let me see here. Hold on. I'm going to have to look for it. I have the wrong scripture. Okay, hold on. Okay, it's verse 26. Romans 8, I said verse 38 and 28 was 8:26. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I want to end by saying, even though we have messed up, even in our manner of prayer, the Lord is so merciful, and he covers us and has sent the Holy Spirit to help our infirmities and cover for the prayers that we might have prayed in a wrong way. So that does not mean, again, that means that God is merciful and he has heard our prayers, but now he wants us to pray in a way that is more effectual. Amen. God is good. Friends, we're going to wrap it up with that, and we will be back with a health message in a little while. We'll talk about the prayer of faith. Amen. Because it does save the sick. All right. Our transition song is the Torso Song. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we transition to wellness, we ask for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting. the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
this song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Talking today about the prayer of faith, and that comes from James chapter 5, starting with verse 13. So it's verse 13 through verse 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let's pray. Father, bless us as we open the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so all those verses have to go together, friends. When we have afflictions, we should pray. And then if we are sick, which would suggest that everything we're doing didn't work. And this is a wonderful opportunity for me to share with you that God works two types of miracles. We're in the health ministry, the natural lifestyle health ministry, and we understand that it's a miracle when God heals hypertension. Even if he uses beet juice, it's still a miracle. Medical doctors generally don't teach that you can be healed from beet juice, okay? And I'm not saying that's the only remedy. I'm just throwing one out there. And I'm not against medical doctors. Don't take it that way. I'm just making a point to say God heals through his natural remedies. He said so, and that he would use simple things to confound the wise in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Okay? So he uses these natural remedies, lifestyle change, diet change, and all of these wonderful things, friends, to help us to overcome in the areas that we need to have help with, okay? That being said, it says, any of you afflicted, let him pray. And then, of course, we should call for the elders. So there are miracles that take place. That's where we were. Miracles that take place that are in harmony with natural law. We can explain it. I can tell you why an alkaline diet reduces your risk of dying of cancer. I can tell you why an alkaline diet and plenty of water and rest reduces inflammation and makes your chances of dying of an infectious disease very slim, okay? Makes your chances of recovery great if you have an infectious disease because of your lifestyle. And even modern medicine agrees with that. Even with the challenges that we have had in our recent times, they say those who are healthy most likely would not die, get sick, or be hospitalized. That's what we were told, okay? We were told some other things, too, but that's what we were told, but most people forgot that. All right, that being said, my friends, natural law. But sometimes we need God to defy natural law. In other words, we've done everything, but it's not working. God can work another kind of miracle, and he said that he wants us to do a process. This process is calling for the elders and asking them to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So the anointing power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is requested on that person. And the Spirit, the Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Okay? Let me find that verse for you. I believe it's in the book of John. All right. That's going to be, brothers and sisters, in John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So the Holy Spirit is the entity in the Godhead that heals us. And even Jesus, he healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not use his divinity to heal. He relied on the Holy Spirit to heal. So God works miracles that defy natural law. So God has told us that we should call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. So we are obedient to that process. We ask God in faith to do that healing, and we continue to do what he has asked us to do. True faith is not without works. Faith without works is dead, according to James 2:28. But notice what it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. If you got sins in your life, things that you've done to hurt people, or you don't have things right with God, the Bible tells you to confess those. But faults are simply sins that you do to other people. And so if you want healing, my friends, you've got to make things right with other people. That's what God is trying to tell us. Some people say, well, what is the difference between a fault and a sin? A fault is a sin you do that hurts somebody, okay? I can sin with a thought and I don't hurt anybody. I just think negative thoughts about somebody, think sensual thoughts about somebody, think evil thoughts about somebody. That's a sin, but nobody knows about it. But I confess that to God. I don't have to stand up in church and say, I thought some evil thoughts and I thought some lustful thoughts. I mean, that would be disastrous to do. That's not what God requires. And the Roman Catholic Church teaches that you confess all those private sins before a priest. That's not what the Bible says. But if I hurt somebody, I am to go to that person and apologize. That is true humility, my brothers and sisters, and that's what is lacking in the world today. We don't have much humility. The world doesn't teach humility, but that is what God teaches, and that is who God will be with, those who are humble enough to say, you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry. You know, and don't keep messing up. You know, put yourself in a position where you're not in tempted and in harm's way, so on and so forth. So healing through prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that's the prayer of faith. God is good, friends. We're going to do a roll call. We have wonderful people on Facebook from South Carolina and Virginia that I can see. I don't know if I hit something, so you can ignore that. It says bring them on video. If you get a request to come on video, you don't want to come on video, don't come on video. Amen? That was a mistake on my part. All right. And then on our call, we have some wonderful people as well. All of you all are saints of the Most High. And that is from, we have Georgia on the line. We have New Jersey on the line. Welcome, New Jersey. Praise God. We have for you, we have Ohio. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Delaware. We have Delaware again. We have Maryland. We have Alabama. And we have Ohio. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. So if there is anyone that has a comment that you would like to make, a question, we've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. That's plenty of time. Just press *6. We'd love to interact with you. Love to hear your comment, question, testimony, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Just press *6, and we'll be able to engage with you. If you're on Facebook, just type your comment or question, and we will engage with you as well. All right, we've got a dear sister from Delaware on the line. We'll take her comment, question, or testimony at this time. Good morning, sister.
Good morning, good morning. I got on late. I'm going to have to put my alarm clock on. I got up late. I heard you say something about the way we pray. This is the way we ought to pray. Just wanted to know, and please forgive me, everyone. Just wanted to know what was the topic of the discussion the worship. Yes, what was the topic?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, everybody, to be redundant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. It was when, where, and how to pray. And so we took the Old Testament altar of incense principles because they were not to when the priest lit the incense, he couldn't do it with a meat offering. He wasn't supposed to add a drink offering. Those were the works of men's hands, you see. And so sometimes we put a lot of self into our prayers, and we also pray in ways that are not best. Doesn't mean that's why there was an atonement made, because God knew that we might not pray right. So the priest, the high priest, made an atonement once a year, and that represents Romans 8:26, where the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and groanings that cannot be uttered. We still need the Holy Spirit to help straighten the prayer out before it gets to God. But nonetheless, we should learn how to pray. And Jesus told us not to pray like with vain repetition. Sometimes we'll say Lord a million times, but we wouldn't say, like I wouldn't say, you have mentioned your name, so I'm going to say Desiree. I wouldn't say, hey, Desiree, how are you doing? And Desiree, how was your day? And Desiree, would you mind praying for me? And Desiree, you know what I mean? We wouldn't do that, but we do that in our prayers. So God is trying to tell us that our prayers should be in a conversational tone. Okay? Our prayers should be in a conversational tone, just like we're speaking to a friend. So those are the main points.
Okay. I definitely want this when you send it out. Mercy. You know how you send out the thing. If I could definitely get this one so I can listen to the whole
thing. You're on WhatsApp, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'll be sending it out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's see if there's, give me a second here. If there's anyone else, okay, we've got another caller, and that's going to be also from Delaware. Good morning, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. I am requesting special prayer for those who have lost loved ones this week and their families. Thank you.
Yes. Special prayer for those who have lost loved ones. Amen. You know, friends, let's do all we can to preserve life, okay? Let's do all we can to preserve life and be, how would we say it, and also be compassionate to those who have lost loved ones. But I want to say this. There's many people unexpectedly, suddenly dying. And a lot of times we need to make sure we're listening to what God says rather than what man says we should do in a crisis. That's all I'll say about that. God is good. He's merciful. And let's keep in prayer. We want to ask everyone, not just us, to pray for our Sister Lenny's request that for the families of those who've lost loved ones. But let's all pray for these requests. All right, it's time for our closing prayer. My wife, our dream does, will take us to the throne of grace.
Father in heaven, we want to lift up to you this broadcast as we have studied out your word today. We want to be able to allow your spirit to teach us always, helping us to draw closer to you, grow in grace and wisdom as we come into a knowledge and understanding of your word. We want to honor the petition that was asked. We know many have lost loved ones, and we shouldn't be too surprised at these things, Lord, because we are told that many will be laid to rest before your second coming. Help us, Lord, to do all that we can, because we know families are in need of your strength, in need of encouragement, in need of comfort. It is still a very sad and unfortunate thing when a loved one passes on, especially unexpectedly. So we ask that you would bring comfort to those that have lost loved ones and help us, Lord, to know that death is but a short time. And we just pray that every heart was surrendered to you and that their call and election was sure in your word, and that when you do return, they will be a part of that glorious resurrection. And Father, we just ask that we can do our part and continue to share the gospel with others who may not know you, may not know about your beautiful love letter that you have written to us in the Bible. And Lord, we just ask and pray that we can do all we can in sharing your word. We ask for spiritual, mental, and physical healings to be granted to everyone who is in need. We ask for financial blessings to be extended to those that are in dire need of finances. We ask, Lord, that you will honor your promise to us, that you will supply all of our need. May we hold sure to your promises, knowing that we can trust in you and that you are the only one that can help us through our problems. May we seek your face throughout the day, remembering these things as we bring you glory, praise, and honor. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
Amen. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord. This is from the Master's Chorale.
I will trust.